Well, we have been having a treat tonight of worship and testimony. And what inspirational story from Tim to hear how God is with us, even in the darkest of times. But as I've been in the ministry for about 5 or 6 years, there are two types of people that I seem to come across all the time. Two types of people, and maybe you're one of them tonight. There are people that try to say to me, "Johnny, I could never become a Christian because I'm not good enough." And if you look in the Bible, there's a story in Luke chapter 15 where there's a young son. He's called a prodigal son. A son who goes off the rails and he does everything in his life to try and find significance, to try and find security, and to try and find identity. And so what he does is he goes off and he tries to break every rule imaginable. He tries to run away from his parents. He tries to spend all the money that he has, the Bible says, on loose living. And he ends up in a pigsty. And for a Jewish boy, that was scandalous to be in a pigsty. And in that pigsty, it was then and only then in the middle of his storm when his body was going underneath the waters, when he felt like, in a sense, his life was ebbing away and that there was no hope and no light left in his life, suddenly he called upon the Lord. And he found that God was able to save. But then there's another type of person that I meet. And sometimes they look into my eyes and I'm explaining what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And there's something within them, even though they're a very good person. They say to me, "Johnny, my whole life I've kept the rules," just like Tim was talking to that guy in that hospital ward. He said, "You know, I haven't smoked and I haven't got drunk and I haven't gone off with prostitutes and I haven't gone in this wild life, but there's something within me just cannot accept Jesus." And that sort of person is the sort of person that tries to find salvation within themselves. They think that they can be saved by keeping all the rules. And there's a story I want to share for just a few moments tonight about a man who tried to find salvation. That means to be rescued from himself and to find security and significance in this life. He tried to find that significance by keeping all the rules. In fact, his story will be a little bit like a story that we're watching on our TV screens at the moment. It won't have escaped your attention, all the tragedies that are happening in the Middle East. We now know that there is a so-called caliph of the Middle Eastern state, the new Islamic state, Mr. Baghdadi, as he refers to himself. And you see the atrocities that are being carried out through his leadership and through his authority. Many, many Christians and many even hundreds of Muslims are being put to death because they won't follow his specific orders in the Islamic state that he has set up. And my question to you tonight, if Mr. Baghdadi was sitting here in the front row, would you say that Jesus is able to save him? Would you say that Jesus is able to save even him? Well, the Bible will tell us the answer to that is yes. And so as we look at the answer to that Bible's question, then the Bible can clearly say God can save you. If they can save someone who breaks all the rules, who spends his money in loose living and prostitutes and parties and drugs and all kinds of things, or they can save someone that tries to keep all the rules, a Mr. Baghdadi who tries to set up a religious system where you can be good, the Bible would say that God is able to save both types of people. And there was a man in the Bible called Saul of Tarsus. The reason he was called Saul of Tarsus, because he healed from Tarsus. Tarsus was a very cosmopolitan city. And he studied at one of the major universities there, a bit like our Oxford or our Cambridge, or for our American friends, Yale or Harvard. He studied under one of the greatest professors of his day, a man called Gamaliel. He was from a pure Jewish background. He was said to be the Hebrew of the Hebrews. As for zeal against Christians, he was said to be persecuting the church. Here was someone who was trying to find salvation in God by keeping all the rules. So let's find out a little bit more about him. Was he able to find that? Listen to what happened to him when God changed his life. In Acts chapter 9, verse 1, you'll see that Jesus has the power to save proud opponents of Christianity. Meanwhile, Saul in Acts chapter 9 verse 1 was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to go to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. And as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed all around Saul, and he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And if we back up the narrative just a little bit, Saul of Tarsus, in the end of Acts chapter 7 and the beginning of Acts chapter 8, was there when a young martyr of Jesus Christ called Stephen was being killed for being a Christian. And it says in Acts chapter 8 that Saul gave his hearty approval to the death of this young man, Stephen. And Stephen, there as he was dying for Christ, said, "Father, forgive them. Father, may they one day become followers of you." And I believe in Saul's heart and mind, he never forgot Stephen. That there would be someone more zealous than him, someone who had greater significance in his life, someone who had found the real meaning for his existence and was able to be a martyr for his faith. And I believe, though the text doesn't say it, I believe Saul never got Stephen out of his head. And I believe his zeal, Saul's zeal, to go and try and kill more and more Christians was to try and eradicate the name of Jesus and people like Stephen from his mind. You heard what the text said, that he went to go and find those who were called the followers of the way. You see, there's only a couple of times in the Bible where Christians are referred to as Christians. Many, many times they are called followers of the way. And you might ask why, because you come in here as a non-Christian tonight and you say, why were they called followers of the way? It sounds pretty strange. Because in John chapter 14 verse 6, the Bible says this about what Jesus said. Jesus one day was talking to maybe a crowd like this, and they were interested in what he had to say and the claims that he had. And one day Jesus just declared to them, and he said, "I am. I'm the way. I'm the truth. And I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And tonight, whether you're trying to find salvation in your life by breaking all the rules, or whether you're trying to find salvation in your life by keeping all the rules, Jesus comes right down the middle of both those sorts of people and says, "You're looking in the wrong places. I am the way, the truth, and the life." In fact, Jesus again would talk to a crowd one day in John 10, and he said to them, "I have come, not that I would spoil your life, not that your life would be ruined, not that you would spend a life trying to keep all the rules." He says, "I have come that you might have life and that you might have it in abundance because of the joy that you will find in finding me and finding me in your hearts." It's interesting. It says here in the text that Jesus speaks to Saul and he says, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" There's this journey. Saul is on this road to Damascus. Jerusalem to Damascus was about 150 miles. And Saul was so zealous to go anywhere that there were Christians to stamp out the name of Christ. And suddenly this light flashes all around him and literally stops him in his tracks. And Jesus doesn't ask him in this vision, "Saul, why have you killed all these Christians? Saul, you've found that you haven't been able to save yourself by keeping all the rules." He says, "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Because the biggest decision Saul had to make in his life is what he would do with Jesus Christ. Not about the people he killed. Not about his whole history before he would become a Christian. The biggest question Saul had to answer, "What will you do with me?" And that's the question that I believe God would have you answer tonight. We've been singing about it tonight. He is able. He can save. He can deliver. And he wants us, in a sense, to forget about our past because we can't fix our past. But the Bible says Jesus can redeem our futures. And so he asks each one of us tonight, "What will you do with me? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. But listen to Saul's response in this narrative as he's on this road to Damascus. Saul says, "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting." He replied, "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul, they stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. And Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. And for 3 days, he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. This just blows my mind in this text. There is Saul of Tarsus, the hater of Christianity. He was known, just like we know Mr. Baghdadi, that he is totally against the Christian faith. He was known for being against the Christian faith. He was known as a killer of Christians. And there he is on his way to Damascus. Suddenly God intercedes in his life, and suddenly the person who was going to Damascus to grab Christians by the hand has now been grabbed by Christ. The arrester of Christians has now been arrested by Christ. It only takes an instant to have your life transformed. And for Saul of Tarsus, it was that instant revelation of Jesus Christ to him on that Damascus road that turned his life 180 degrees. And I believe God's speaking to someone tonight. You've been coming in here and you've been running from Christ your whole life, or you've been trying to keep the rules your whole life. And he says, "Tonight I want you to deal with me. What will you do with me? I am Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life." The story continues. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. And the Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him and restore to him his sight." You see, Ananias would have been dumbfounded by this. They would have known if there's anyone to avoid in this particular part of the world in Bible times, it was Saul of Tarsus. He would have been well known, like the caliphate is known in our world today, as the person who's against Christianity. And Ananias is wrestling. Could God really transform someone like that? And maybe internally you're wrestling with that yourself. Could you really transform me? Could you really change me? But God is speaking to Ananias that God's love is so wide that it can save people like Saul of Tarsus. "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call upon your name." Ananias was saying to God, "God, you are not able. God, you cannot save a man like this. God, surely a man like him is outside of your love." And God was gently saying to Ananias, "With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible." And so God was revealing even to Ananias that someone like Saul of Tarsus could be saved through God's amazing grace. But the Lord continued, "But the Lord said to Ananias, 'Go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer.' Then Ananias went to the house and he entered it, placing his hands." Think about this. Think about how Ananias is feeling as he's making this journey through the streets of Damascus. And you think about Damascus, it's under a lot of persecution today. As he made his way to Damascus, he knows that he's got to go and lay his hands on the greatest persecutor of Christians. And he's wrestling, is God able? Can God save? Can God transform? And then he goes into the house. And he says, placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul." Think what those words must have been like for Saul of Tarsus. "Brother? I'm not your brother." But by God's amazing grace, he was. "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on that road as you were coming here, he has sent me to you so that you might see again." But you see, the difference is Saul is going to see with completely new eyes. The Bible says that when you become a Christian, it's like the scales from your eyes are removed and suddenly you can see. And this time you start to see with Jesus' eyes so that you might see again and that you might be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then listen to what the text says in its conclusion. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. But the difference was, the Bible uses this phrase that he was, in a sense, born again. You may have heard that phrase. It's kind of a complicated phrase, but it literally means he has a new life in Jesus Christ. He got up, and he was baptized, and after gaining some food, he regained his strength. God is able. If he can save someone like Saul of Tarsus, who we would regard as the caliphate of his day, he can save you. And you know, on your best day, you're never good enough to gain salvation to heaven. And on your worst day, when you're breaking every rule imaginable, you're never bad enough to be out of God's grace. And so as I pray now, I ask that you would just consider where you are with Christ. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. And he is able to do it even tonight. So let's just pause to pray, and the team will come and lead us in just a few seconds. Father, we thank you that you are able. That you're able to save even someone like Saul of Tarsus. And so we pray, Father, even in the stillness now, there are some people considering whether they will open up their hearts to you as they feel you pressing on their hearts tonight. May they come to you, Father, and say, all that I am, I give to you. Every place I've been, you know it full well, O Lord. But Lord, I believe that you are able. You're able to save. You're able to change my heart. You're able to change my ways. And as I ask for your forgiveness from all of my rebellion against you, of all of my trying to keep all the rules, I ask that tonight, Father, you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit, and that I might be able to leave this place as a follower of you. In Jesus' name we pray.